Hey, welcome back to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Now, we bring you stories for Valentine's Day from Michigan storyteller Allison Downey.
What's Valentine's Day?
It means you can give hugs or kisses. Where you get great big hugs.
It means I love you and trick or treat.
Here I am at a bar in the middle of the afternoon. Don't judge me. I'm waiting for my husband. We're meeting for an early Valentine's Day date. Look at this guy at the end of the bar. He is checking out that woman over by the jukebox. Oh, he's making his move.
Excuse me. Hi, is your name Monica? Because I'm supposed to meet a girl here named Monica. It's a blind date. And she said she'd be wearing a red dress and just have the most beautiful brown hair and green eyes. You're not as...
I'm not. I'm sorry.
You're not. Oh, well.
Nope.
Well, that's a shame.
Is that true?
That right there was how I thought I would come introduce myself to you.
It felt like a pickup line.
It totally was.
I
came up with it over there by the jukebox.
You waited for like a pretty enough girl to walk in wearing
something. I saw you and what you were wearing and I thought I'd use that to my advantage.
Oh.
So, my name is Dustin.
Hi, I'm Rachel.
Rachel, what a beautiful name.
Thanks.
What does it mean?
It's just a name. I don't know. I've never looked it up.
Yeah, I guess I don't know.
It's biblical, that's for sure.
Okay, it sounds biblical.
Yeah. Man, that line worked.
That
hasn't been that long.
Okay. I thought we were beyond that. I thought maybe you'd forget. Oh, well, that didn't work.
No, I'm going to remember that forever.
Well, that's quite a
promise. I was just saying, like, I'll...
But it's weird, because I'm studying psychology right now, and what you just did there, you showed what you really want.
I don't know if I did. I could have meant forever, like, I will retell this story to my friends at brunches forever.
Right, which could mean, why would you tell, like, a fleeting moment story?
Oh,
who tells
brunches
those?
Are full of fleeting moment stories.
I don't tell my friends about that one time I sneezed and threw my neck out. Unless it comes up.
Did that happen to you?
It did.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You should probably buy me a drink.
I will, bartender.
Hey, what can I get you?
I will have what she's having. What are you drinking there?
Just whiskey on the rocks.
Oh, well, you know what? Make it a white Zinfandel for me and a whiskey on the rocks for her.
Oh.
You got it.
A white Zinfandel for you.
Yes.
Are you a big wine drinker?
No, I don't know why I just said that. My mom drinks it. She calls it a good blush wine, so...
Was that a sneaky thing you do where you
talk
reference your mom,
yeah,
so I know that you have a good relationship?
How did you know that?
God, you are good at this.
I gotta be honest, I started majoring in psychology to get...
Women?
To get women, but now I really enjoy it.
Dustin, not okay to admit to me on a first whatever.
On a first what?
I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
This is interesting right here.
I think it's a date.
Right, your word's not mine.
Well, here's to love at first sight. Let's hope it lasts. Now, my first love? That was definitely not love at first sight. Let's see. I was 16, and I had gotten this great opportunity to live with a family in Spain for the summer, a friend of a friend of my mom's. And I didn't know the family. I didn't even speak Spanish. But I was up for an adventure. I was naive and innocent and an extremely enthusiastic American, kind of like a puppy. So I wake up with my temples throbbing from the party of the century. And I find that what Antonio had drawn on my face the night before in permanent marker for all to see were not the flowers that he had told me, but male genitalia. This was not when I fell in love with Antonio. Now, at the time, Antonio was 19, and while his family lives in Madrid, for the month of August, the entire extended family of 40 gathers at their family's ancestral home on the coast of the Mediterranean. And this place even had a name. They called it Roda, or Roda. And it was here at Rhoda that Antonio and I became friends. Actually, more like siblings. And I think he would agree, given the marker incident. But at 20, I returned to Madrid to study for the year. I live and go to school right around the corner from his family's apartment, and they invite me for lunch every day. And Antonio is striking. He is tall with these deep Spanish doe eyes and a smile that just slayed me. He would pick me up after school on his moped, and we would zoom all around Madrid, and we'd go to art gallery openings, and we'd go dancing. And we were also total goofs together. I mean, we would make each other laugh till our bellies hurt. And I quickly grew desperately in love with Antonio. He was my perfect man. I could be completely myself with him, but I couldn't tell him how I felt. I was terrified of rejection, of losing this friendship, and I didn't know if he felt the same way or if he just wasn't into me. You know, the Spanish women were so beautiful and sophisticated, and I wasn't. I even asked Antonio if he had a girlfriend back in Japan where he had just returned from. He'd lived there for a year. And he said no, and he just never felt anything. It didn't feel really natural to him. They felt kind of uptight. And I was like, hey, I'm natural. And he seemed like he was into me. You know, we'd get all dressed up to go dancing. And he'd say, Alison, estás guapísima. Alison, you look so beautiful. So this went on for about 9 months, kind of pining away. But eventually I got to the point where I just accepted that we were going to be great friends. When, right before I'm about to leave, I'm about to turn 21, and he invites me to Rhoda, his family's home on the Mediterranean, just the two of us, for 5 days. We drive out of Madrid into Castilla León, that beautiful desert, craggly landscape, and into gypsy country. So Antonio asks me to play guitar for him. So I serenade him. And, well, I can't quite play like that, but, you know, I mean, it's a story, so I can pretend. The road turns from asphalt to dirt to sand to dust to cobblestone as we enter the archway into his family's compound. And we push open these enormous wooden doors with wrought iron that had been hanging there for centuries. Step onto the cold, hard Spanish tile floor. And there, framed in the doorway with his coat of arms on one side and a painting that's older than our country on the other, Antonio looks like a prince, which, I don't know, I guess was his lineage. And I'm wondering if we are going to go to the master bedroom when he says, Alison, my room is down this hallway and yours is down the other hallway. And my heart sinks. The next day, he takes me boating, and we moor on this island. We get out of the boat, and we're jumping around in the waves, and we are splashing. We're just, you know, we're frolicking. We're frolicking in the waves. We're rolling in the surf, and we roll until we come to a stop with Antonio right on top of me. And our eyes are locked. We've got sand dusting our cheeks. I can't hardly breathe. I'm just waiting for this kiss that's going to help me see God. When Antonio takes a breath and sort of shakes himself to and rolls off of me. And I sink into the sand. 7 years later, I'm living in New Mexico. I'm really happy. I get a call from Antonio, who has just moved to New York. And he's invited me to stay with him when I go there for my upcoming conference that summer. He has always promised me that if he ever came to the States, he would come see me. And I learned through the course of the conversation that he's actually been to the States several times to visit some friend of his named Stuart that he met on a business trip. And he not only did he not come to see me, he didn't even call. And I'm like, why didn't he call me? Why didn't he see me? You know, and who the hell is Stuart? And I'm on the plane, and my mind is racing, and all of these pieces start fitting together to where we land in Central Park. I meet Antonio there to go for a run. And he says, Alison, there is something I have to tell you. And I blurt out, I know, I know, I know. We burst out laughing. And in my defense, I had a lot of gay friends. I mean, my roommate was gay, but it just never occurred to me with Antonio. And I ask, "No, why didn't you tell me back then?" And he says, "Alison, because you confused me." Which was the best compliment he could have ever given me. I mean, it wasn't that I wasn't pretty enough or kind enough or fun enough. It was just that I wasn't man enough. That night, Antonio and Stuart take me dancing till 2 a.m, and we laugh all together till our bellies hurt. And I adore Stuart. He is so kind and funny and generous and smart. And I get it. Antonio had never really been my perfect man. He was Stuart's perfect man. And Stuart was his. It would take me many more adventures and a move to Michigan for me to find my perfect man, but I did. And so now, 17 years later, all the best of friends, when they take us boating, Stuart and Antonio frolic in the waves, and so do my husband, John, and I. Funny how sometimes our little disappointments work out for the best. But come on, let's face it. It's nicer to have the best without the little disappointments, right? That's my hope for our little couple at the end of the bar.
I mean, you really do look great.
Thanks.
But only time will tell. Oh, here's my husband. Hey, I gotta go. Have a great Valentine's Day, whatever that means to you.
Alison Downey is a Michigan storyteller, musician, and associate professor at Western Michigan University. Joe Feldman and Mike Marinowski wrote and performed our fictional bar scene. The young children you heard at the beginning of the segment are students from the Learning Village Preschool in Kalamazoo. Zach Rosen produced our segment. Special thanks to Kyle Norris and Peggy Watson for their production help.